Now, when we think about our mothers, I hope we remember great things and happy moments where they gave all of themselves to us. I was blessed with a good, godly mother who did give of herself for us, and I thank her greatly for that. Now, we have four objectives today in our lesson. And the first and foremost is to give God the glory. Sometimes when we lift up individuals, we sometimes forget about why we meet here in church, and that's to give God glory. So first and foremost, that is what we want to think about in our lesson today, is to give Him glory and gratitude for the fact that He created mothers and that He gave us the opportunity to live with them and to be with them. So that's our first objective. And to remember, you know, He paid it in full. He showed His love to us. And He shone a light on the heart of a mother. Throughout Scripture, there's different examples given, and there's many places we could go today. The first place we're going to go to is 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Before I read that, you can turn there. Today, as we look at mothers and fathers and children, we want to put them into this intimate circle in which they belong. The family unit is to be connected in every way, and it's supposed to. It's God's will that this family unit stays together. And sometimes it's tough. Sometimes we fight, sometimes we bicker, sometimes we get mad, sometimes we feel unloved. But if you're sitting here today and you're listening to this, remember that this is God's perfect will, that the family unit stays together. The mother, the father, the children are supposed to be here. So how do we live together? And of course, the best way is to put God first in our lives. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. And at the same time, give a worthy praise, not above God, of course, but to our mothers. A loving mother's heart is one that shines bright. It shines the brightest through her actions. Her words are soft and steady. And she is always busy caring for every need that she sees. A loving mother adds to her plans and to the plans of others, and unselfishly puts her stuff aside for the cares, for the care of those who are around her. She seldom gets the breather she deserves, that relaxing moment. She seldom gets the respect she should acquire in the household. Rather, her works, they get taken advantage of a lot of times. And this is what I'm talking about with this family unit. We need to recognize the work of the mother and the wife, whatever category you want to put that in, and realize that she is to be loved and respected, not get taken advantage of. And I hope none of us do that today. The children come because of the love of a mother. The children come to expect a consistent servant, if you will, to their ever-growing needs if they are taking advantage of their mother and if the father allows it to happen. That is not the label of a mother. It's not mother, aka consistent servant. Okay, even though that is what she may show through her actions because of her love, that is not how she should be treated. Loving mothers, even when hurt or tired, can forget the hurt when they see the calm of their sleeping child and the smile of joy on their child's face. How many times has that happened where you're going nuts inside, but you see the smile on your child's face, and it gives you peace and it makes you happy. And of course we know the feel of seeing your child sleep, because then you have a break. But a loving mother can't help but do these nice things around the house and showing love and adding to her schedule. And as stated, the children and the husband should show her respect, and they should return the love. They should return the energy that she puts in the time that she has so freely given. Something I want to focus on today is commitment. And this is a challenge to mothers. Most mothers are committed to their families, whether it's making dinner or cleaning the house, going to work. If you're a lady that has a job, you go to bring money in to help the family, and yet you're still running errands, going shopping, taking kids to school and to ball games, and doing all of these errands that you do. And there's a great commitment that we see in the mothers today. But the commitment I want to focus on today really is way more important than all of those other things. You know, sometimes sports take the place in our households, our school events, popularity, how some sort of social life a lot of times gets in the way of what a mother truly should be committed at. And that is, of course, the Lord. This goes for, of course, children and mothers and fathers. All of us, as we are in this bubble together, where God wants us in His will, He wants us to be committed to each other by being committed to Him. First and foremost, all the other things really don't matter a whole lot. Social standing does not matter in the grand scheme of things. What matters is God has placed, this is for fathers and mothers today, God has placed in our care a child. And we are to be committed to raising that child in the most godly way possible. That's hard to do sometimes. But that is our first focus. Because it doesn't matter how popular our kids are today. It doesn't even matter if they're our best friend. What matters is that they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, and then from there grow on in wisdom of the truth that is found in the Word of God. This is what we want for our children, first and foremost. All these other things are secondary. So today when we talk about commitment, this is what I mean. Because there's a big difference between a person who is committed to God and teaches them about God and one who doesn't. Finally, now we can get to the scriptures. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're given to us an example of a godly woman, two godly women. Starting in verse 3, Paul is writing a letter to Timothy. And he says, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee, Timothy, in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I come to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Look at the legacy, the grandmother to the mother to the child. And of course we know Timothy was a sincere, genuine believer, wanting to walk in the will of God, and did great works for the Lord. Where did this start? Well, it started from his grandmother, Lois, and in his mother, Eunice. What started? An unfeigned faith. An unfeigned faith. That is powerful. This shows commitment of these two. Talking about a little more, giving a little more information into Timothy's life. If you can write this down in Acts chapter 16, verse 1, it says, "Then came he to Derbe and to Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek." His mother was Jewish, but she believed. She was a believer, a believing Jew. She believed in the Christ, the Messiah. She was saved. And that is important. Mothers today, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? You see, you cannot be committed to God without a personal relationship with Him. Meaning that there was a point in time that you realized you were a sinner in need of salvation. You realize that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, He came and He paid the penalty for you on the cross of Calvary. He died, He was buried, and He rose again. And He saved you from death. And He gave you eternal life. You put your faith and hope in Him. If you've done that today, you have the power within you because of the Holy Spirit to be committed to God if you take advantage of His wisdom that and leading that He gives you. If you have not done that today, I pray that you do so that you can get to this point that you can live a faithful life and you can have that unfeigned faith that Timothy's grandmother and mother had. They're noted for being faithful, teachers of the Word of God. And that's another thing. It is one thing to be a believer, a believing mother, and quite another to teach your children about God and His Word. A big difference. You know, right now in our society, the families are teaching their kids at home. And it makes me think, you know, how many years we've, as believers, we've complained about, oh, I wish they'd teach the Lord in school, you know, in these public schools. And of course, they're not going to do that. You can't afford to send them to Christian school a lot of times. And some of us have jobs, you can't homeschool, but now we're forced to homeschool in a sense, right? God bless you homeschoolers, because it's a very difficult thing to do. But how many years have we complained, oh, we need to get God back in the education, but yet we at the same time are not teaching our kids at home about God. We think taking them to church once a week and allowing the Sunday school teacher to teach them, hey, that's good enough. No, we need to be teaching them every day something. It can be through the Word of God itself. It could just be in life in general, how to handle things by having faith in God. But let's move from just being a believing mother to a faithful, committed to God mother and teaching our children the Word of God. Why do I say that? Because 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15, it says about Timothy and about his mother, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Listen to that. "And from a child thou hast known." There are many parents, mothers and fathers alike, that regret they cannot say that about their children. It's sad, but it's true. It happens all the time, and it breaks our hearts, but many parents have small regrets. Now, listen, none of us are perfect. I am not a perfect father. Melissa's not a perfect mother. We don't raise Ethan perfectly. We can't. Only Christ is perfect. But friends, we need to really be consistent in making sure our child understands the truth and that he understands the scriptures. Why? Because even before they're saved, it can give them a wisdom to help them understand salvation. Understand who God is. And when they go out and they face the world, whether it's in public schools or in universities, and they face all of the fiery darts of the devil, they can stand because they are grounded in the Word of God. We see there in 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. How did he know that? Through his mother and through his grandmother. Parents, how you teach your children makes a big difference. The key is to consistently teach, but it is also to consistently live by example. Now remember earlier we talked about the unfeigned faith that Timothy had and his mother had and his grandmother had. An unfeigned faith. Mothers, may I throw a challenge out to you today in love. You must be consistent in your faith. You can teach them all you want. You can open up the Word of God and show them from Scripture how they should act and how they should respect you and all these other things. But if you are not living a life of faith, a practical life of faith, it's not going to mean a whole lot. There are children everywhere that look at their parents, both mothers and fathers, as hypocrites. They say they have faith in the Lord, but they don't walk in the Lord. Whenever a trial comes their way, they lose it. They can't handle it, and they get all stressed out, and they're not walking by faith. And then they wonder why their child can't seem to emotionally stand strong in his faith, because they are learning from behavior. So not only is it teaching from the Word of God, it's we ourselves living in strength by the Word of God as well, having faith that everything is going to work out and that God is in control. You know, there's a story of a missionary many years ago who went out on the missionary field. He could not speak the language. But when all was said and done, later on, after he had been there a few years, he had a real hard time learning the language. Someone had come in and asked these individuals, you know, what do they think it means to be a Christian? And they pointed at this individual. Not because he was speaking the words, but because he was living out his love for Christ. You see, how we act makes a big difference to those around us. It also gives them a better understanding. So when they hear about Jesus, they're not trying to compare our lives, or, you know, looking at our lives in confusion as we're giving them the scriptures. You see, the two should match up. They should weave together. But if we're living like a circle and the Bible is a square hole and we're trying to fit that into it, it doesn't fit. Our lives and what we know and say from the Word of God to other people, they should mesh. They should come together. And mothers, you must do this. And fathers, you must do this. And children, you must do this as well, because there's kids at school that are looking at you, or maybe you have a parent that doesn't know Christ yet. You need to be that example. We know the Lord looks at mothers very importantly. You know, even when Christ was on the cross, we talked on Good Friday, Jesus dying on the cross, you know, and one of the things he did, behold thy mother. He wanted his mother taken care of. We are to honor children, our father and our mother. That's not just an Old Testament thing. In the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 1 through 3, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." This speaks of this realm we are to live in God's will, in this family unit. Children, you are to obey your parents. It's the right thing to do, and it comes with a promise. But mothers and fathers, give your children reason to show you respect and honor and love. Do not provoke them in the wrong way. You know, mothers are always teaching. When the child is very small, the mother is always caring and teaching, "Don't touch that. It can be damaging. Hey, you're going to get hurt if you do this. Hey, don't yell, don't scream." And it's a constant. It flows out of the mother and the father too. And we want to build up our little ones, edify them, and teach them in the things of the world versus the things of God, and which ones are which way we should live. I'm sure you've heard different phrases through your life, and the phrase, your mother would be proud when they say that. Or maybe you're cussing and doing things you shouldn't do. Oh, you kiss your mother with that mouth? And why do we say things like that? Because we place our mothers on a pedestal. We want to do things that are pleasing to them. We want to have a special bond. The mother wants the special bond with their children. They love them so much, they want that love in return. And both sides have to work on that. Before the mother, are you consistent in your faith? You know, in fact, mothers have quite an impact on children's life. A man tells a story of a child who had strayed. He says, "One of the last Sundays I spent at Bethany Sunday School in Philadelphia, an English man was there and spoke to the scholars. He sat down and told me this story. A young girl had run away from home and was living a life of sin. And her mother wanted my friend to help her find her daughter. And he said, 'Go home and bring me every picture you have, and I will find her.' She brought them to him, and he just dipped his pen in ink, and he wrote down beneath the sweet face these words, 'Come back.' Then he took those pictures down into the haunts of sin and the mission stations and left them there. Not long after, this daughter was going into a place of sin, and there she saw the face of her mother. The tears ran down her face so that at first she could not see the words beneath, but she brushed away the tears and looked, and there they were, 'Come back.' She went out to her old home at the edge of London, and when she put her hand on the latch, the door was open. And when she stepped in, her mother, with her arms about her, said, 'My dear child, the door has never been fastened since you went away. And that is true for you with God. The door has never been closed since you went away. It is wide open.'" You know, this story is sweet, and it has a happy ending, and it speaks to the power that a mother has. But mothers and fathers, today I hang a picture before you, and the picture is Jesus. And on it are the words, "Come back." And does that speak to you? Have you, as parents, have you strayed away from the precepts of God? Have you got mixed up in the world? Are you looking for social pleasure? Are you looking for popularity? Are you going to everything? What sort of idols do you have that you are placing before Jesus Christ? Because if you are placing anything before Him, it is going to be very difficult for you to teach your child properly about having strong faith when you might not have it at all. And I pray that's not true of anyone that I'm preaching to today. I don't know. But if it is, come back. Come back and live the life that you should be living in front of your children. And children who are listening, think upon these words, Proverbs 1, 8 and 9. Proverbs 1, 8 and 9, it says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." Okay, a little bit of bling going on here. And it's talking about this will be good for you. Just simplify. This will be good for you to listen to the instruction of your parents. In the end, it will be well with you. But if you disobey and you run away, if their instruction is of the things of God and you walk away from that, it is not going to be a good thing for you. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." Children today, don't you understand? When you walk away from their counsel, and hopefully their counsel is matching the Word of God, you're walking away from God's counsel. This causes a heaviness in the heart of the mother, in the father too. It causes a heaviness in them. It breaks their heart. Children today, listen, and I don't care how old you are, whether you're living at home or not, you have a mother. And the things that you do with your life can break the heart of your mother. But more importantly, it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Why would we grieve God whom we love, who loves us? Why would we grieve our mother and father who we love and they love us? Which goes to show in Proverbs 23:22. It says, "Hearken unto thy father that begot thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." It's not talking about just hating her. This is talking about your action, which might show that you don't care for them or care for her. Love her. Show her respect. Live a life that is pleasing to God, and therefore it will be pleasing to the mother. Think about this for a second. It's not really off topic at all. Let's say you're a saved child today, and your mother is not saved. Doesn't matter how old she is. If you, whether you're 50 years old and your mother's still alive, if you live by the precepts of God, there is no way that will grieve the mother's heart. Because you're doing things that are well for you. You're making right decisions for your life. I'm not talking about whether she agrees with your spiritual choice or not. What I'm saying, the results of living by God's precepts will make your mother happy. And the same is true of the mother to the child, the mother to the husband. Living by the precepts that we are given in the Word of God cause us to have better environments. Now, some of us parents have fallen by the wayside, and our kids are watching. And I know you may be thinking, no one's going to tell me how to raise my kids. Now, please don't feel that way. God gives instruction that needs to be heeded. challenging you to do what He wants. I want us parents, including myself, to think back to a point in time before our children were born. We just found out that you were pregnant, and in 9 months to think about it. And in that time, I guarantee you that mothers and fathers alike, we thought of ways to teach them, ways to protect them, basically raise them properly, and how you were going to stick to your guns. I'm going to be consistent. I know that's the right thing to do. I'm going to raise my kid properly and be a good example for them. And then the baby comes, and you got an hour of sleep, and you start to lose your mind, and you get distracted from all those things, and once in a while, now these thoughts come up, oh, I'm going to be consistent, oh, I'm going to teach them, but your life is chaos now that the kid is here. And so we lose our focus, and today, let's bring us back down to that place, that desire of teaching and training them. You see, because we can't if we don't have that desire. That God-given desire to raise them properly. You know, John Lennon, his child, when he thinks upon him, sorry, Beatle fans out there, but what John Lennon's son said about him, he said, I felt he was a hypocrite. Dad could talk about peace and love out loud to the world, but he could never show it to the people who supposedly meant the most to him, his wife and son. How can you talk about peace and love and have a family in bits and pieces? No communication. A family with adultery, a family with divorce. You can't do it, not if you're being true and honest with yourself. That's what John Lennon's son said. And that is not an uncommon statement that children make once they grow up and they leave the house, or just as they become a teenager. They become a teenager and they see the hypocrisy much more clearly in the home. You say this, but you do another. Parents, mothers and fathers, be consistent. Get back into living the life that God wants you to live. Be committed to your family. This is why I say this message is for all of us. Whether you're a child of any age, whether you're a mother or a father, husband, wife, it does not matter. We all have the same challenge, and that is to glorify God first in our lives, live by His precepts. When we do that, it will help us in our relationships as we are showing love to our parents. Again, I'm not saying that we're all on the same spiritual level or have the same beliefs, and sometimes there's persecution there for being a Christian. I get that. But when we live by God's precepts, that is not going to be unpleasing. God will bless us. He will give us peace. When you honor your father and mother, that is the first commandment that comes with a promise. That's what God says. And children, that's what you must do. You must show respect to your mother and your father. Husbands, show respect to your wife. Not just today, but every day. Treat her the way she should be treated. Love her, as the Bible says, like Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. That is how we are to be a servant to our wives in different areas without giving up spiritual authority in the home. And we can do that with a very good balance. And wives, make sure that you also love and support, respect, and submit to your husbands in a proper way. And it all works together. We serve each other. I know I said the word submit. But we submit to our wives, they submit to us, and it works together in a proper way with the man having the spiritual authority in the home. Keep that in mind today. Everyone work together in your family unit, Make a decision today in your family unit to serve God together in any way that you can. Well, happy Mother's Day. We love you all. I love you, Mom. And let's go ahead in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for the mothers you have given to us to train us up in the ways of the Lord. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray that they would all have a good day and the families would have a good day together. And Lord, thank you for your great salvation. May we take the challenges found in the Word of God today and apply them to our lives. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.